The Bible says again, David gathered together all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. David arose and went with all the people that were with him from Baal of Judah to bring up from thence the ark of God, whose name is called by the name of the Lord of hosts that dwelleth between the cherubims. They set the ark of God upon a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab that was in Gibeah. Thus and how the sons of Abinadab brave of the new cart. And they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was at Gibeah, accompanying the ark of God, and how went before the ark. David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord of all manner of instruments made of fir wood, even on harps and on psalteries and on timbrels and on cornets and on cymbals. And when the day came to Nathan's threshing for us, put forth his hand for the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against us, and God smote him there for his error. And there he died, there the ark of God. And David was displeased because of the Lord had made a breach upon us. And he called the name of the place Perez Uzzah to this day. And David was afraid of the Lord that day and said, how shall the ark of the Lord come to me? So David would not remove the ark of the Lord unto him into the city of David. But David turned it aside into the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. And the ark of the Lord continued in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite 3 months. And the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. And it was told King David, saying, the Lord hath blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that pertain unto him because of the ark of God. So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David with gladness. And it was so that when they had buried the ark of the Lord, had gone 6 paces, he sacrificed the oxen and fatlings. And David danced before the Lord with all his might. And David was girded with a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. And as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord. And she despised him in her heart. And they brought in the ark of the Lord and set it in his place in the midst of the tabernacle that David had pitched for it. And David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. You may be seated. If God would help me for a little while this morning, I would like to preach on bringing home the ark. Bringing home the ark. Now, it's been 100 years about since the ark of God had been in Jerusalem. You remember what happened back in 1 Samuel chapter 4 when Eli and his sons, Eli got old and his eyes began to wax dim, and the lamp of God was going out in the temple house of the Lord where the ark of the covenant was, and the days were that Hophni and Phinehas' sons, whom he had not restrained, had become sons of Belial and were wicked in their dealings around the house of God. And they took the ark one day at the midst of the battle, and in the battle time many of Israel died. Hophni and Phinehas died, and they took the ark of God. I'm telling you this morning, the ark of God is necessary in the house of the Lord. But we got to wear that we don't miss it that much. We're satisfied in our day with average services. We're satisfied and content with a little bit of emotion instead of a mighty spirit of God. The ark represents the presence and the power of God. For this day, it's been 100 years had been in his place. David not alone in his soul to see the ark of God home again. I would that Thomas and Dennis would get longing in their heart to see the ark of God in the home again. I would to God that preachers and deacons and Sunday school teachers and families in the house of God would get longing again for the ark of God at the house of the Lord. We need him. In that day, I hope that's in half dead and one of them's life gave birth. A baby boy ought to be a joyous time, ought to be a wondrous time. But that baby was taken to God, which meant the glory of God had departed from Israel. I've heard about the 30s, the 40s, the 50s, and early 60s, when the power of God fell and the glory of God was in the church. I wasn't there. I wasn't born till 68, and I wasn't there. I'm telling you, David, my friend now was only 30 years old. He don't remember the ark of being at Jerusalem, but he had a longing in his soul. I just say, preacher, I'm tired of hearing about what they had in days gone by. I know why we're tired of it. I know why we're tired of hearing it. Oh, that always reminds us of what we're missing. Amen. Well, friend, we need the ark of God again in the house of the Lord. David got along. I'm going to tell you, first of all, there's going to be a burning desire within us. We're going to see the desperate need. Hey, I believe with all my heart that sinners cannot be born again without a Holy Ghost atmosphere. And we're trying to do it without that. When you don't have the glory, you'll substitute things. The real fire of God, I believe in the 60s, when the hippie movement moved in, and Woodstock and things like that, free love and do what you please, and what you want, what feels good, it seemed like it crept into the church, and the glory began to depart. We come away from old time conviction, and the power of God, and we work up a plan. Amen. Hey, that's the day when the charismatic movement flourished so greatly. That's because when the real fire's gone, they had to produce a false one. And nowadays, we don't know the difference. I'm just as scared of a wildfire as I am no fire. Amen. Boy, this day, we're satisfied with things as usual. There was babies born. There was wars fought. There was battles won. But there was no glory. Now I believe, the best I can remember, the ark was only down in the land of the Philistines for 7 months. They took it down there, and they put it in the house of Dagon. And Dagon, they come in one morning, and Dagon fell over on his face. And then they set him up. Yeah, they set him back up. But they left the ark of God in their vision. And so the next day they come in, and his hands chopped off, and his hands were gone, and they're chopped on over by the fleshes, by the door hoofs. Hey, God, hear me now. Hey, God, friend, here we are, living in this day, and we ain't got no more sense than the Philistines do. They said, we can't handle this job. We can't handle it. We're going to have to get rid of him. We can't take this. So they put him on the cart, hooked him up to some oxen, and sent it out. Now I'll tell you, ark of God was only out of Israel for 7 months. When it came back to turn that Bethbridge era, it came back and stayed there, and it remained there for a time. And it was only about 10 miles away from Jerusalem. Then they took it from there, and they moved it. Had been a damn house. It remained there for 75 to 80 years. It was only 5 miles from the city gate. Then they removed it, trying to do it with a new cart. That's about what we're trying to do in these days. I know I preach on clown shows and y'all amen me.
I know I preach on. I know I preach on the mimics and the games and the ball teams and all that. And don't wait for that. But I just want to talk about us. We've got to the day where in the last 5 minutes before service starts and 5 minutes after it starts, you better be careful standing near the door. We're trying to bring it in on new college that we really ain't interested. We're just dragging around, dragging in. We're coming in waiting on a preacher to stir us up. Say, preacher, you're supposed to get us started this morning. I'm a tithe too. And if I just get the new car, jumped up with me doing well enough. We're singing them old songs, and they ain't meaning nothing to us. No praying going on at the house. What happened to the time when Mom and me heard in the big bedroom praying? What happened to the days when Granny sat over the dishes and sang the songs of faith? Oh God help us! We can't get in with the new carts. Trying to handle the holy things of God. I tell you, in these days we need the ark. I don't know about you. Well, now where I pastor, we need this ark. We need that power and presence of God. I tell you a story about somebody having a wreck out on the road, brain hanging out of their head, them call on God and get saved, have half of you crying. Maybe if I told it right, some of you shouting. I'm going to tell you, emotions ain't going to get us where we need to get to. We're going to have to have God. Amen. And God will come in and drop in a mouth and complain about our valleys, our troubles, and our trials. And if we're not careful, we'll stir our emotionalism. But I'm talking about a deep, a running fire of God. That's what we need. The fast, sad thing about it is, I was afraid Brother Mips go call on me last night. When I got down to the motel room, my kids went off the Coca-Cola Museum. Some folks from my church. I got the key to their room. Went across the hall and took my Bible. Went across the hall and let my wife sleep. Got in there and got thought I'll pray and study a little while, but this, I don't know if I watered this or this watered me, I ain't sure. But boy, I just got the water in it. Boy, I got to praying. Brother Rock, I put my Bible down and got down on the face and got to crying out. But I couldn't say a whole lot, but Lord, I'm sorry. I said, Lord, I'm sorry that we've got content with what we've got and we don't want the more. Lord, I'm sorry that we've got another complacent attitude and an apathetic spirit, or that we don't want the more. Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Lord, that we've got another place. I mean, what we've got enough. Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Oh, God, help us. David had a longing. He'd never seen the days. So many of my age group, I'm 42 years old. Most of my age group know nothing about the glory of God. And we've not seen it. I'd like to say it's not our fault. The best I can tell, he could have went and got the ark any time he wanted it. They had a king before David, but he never had no desire to go get the ark. I believe just about all our Baptist churches, our fundamental Baptist churches, are about one pastor away from being liberal. I've seen it happen in the church I grew up in. I know what I'm talking about. I didn't know there was such a thing as an NIV. I just thought there's a Bible. And the next thing I know, after I graduated high school, I got saved as a man coming there just talking about NIV. Hey, I'm going to tell you what they're doing now. When I was a little old boy, they talked about somebody said, why don't we put a basketball goal in the parking lot for the boys to play at the church. And now I'm going to tell you, them deacons rolled up and said, that ain't happening. That's a half to thank God for that. But now they built a big old gymnasium. Hey, God, you say, preacher, you'll get stabbed 150%. Hey, God, that ain't a place for it. Leave it gossips. Gone away from the old Bible. But we might as well carry an NIV. We don't believe that we carry no way. Amen. We ain't gonna live by that no way. Gossips. Some of us are more aware. We'll pass some bees on that NIV, but we ain't gonna live by that KJV. Lord help us. We're talking about him song us singing, but we don't sing the ones we got, the power of God. Lord help us. We're talking about them seminars and them conferences. Instead of having preaching, I think that's the best. The things are going on, but oh, we're not going to heed the preaching that we're getting. What's wrong with us? I believe we got some new cards. Lord, did somebody get a desire for God? And a longing for the glory again. Oh, she said, been on the mountain 6 days in the Shekinah glory of God. And on the seventh day, God spoke unto him out of the cloud. A few chapters later, we'll find Moses in chapter 33 saying, oh, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. I tell you what, thank you, you've ever seen a glimpse of the glory of God. Help me along and down in the heart. I don't want more. Hey, friend, some of us don't know nothing about it. But we can have it. It ain't that far off.
Here now. I thought about Elisha. He got along. He seen something in that old man of God. He said, I want that. That what he's got, I want that. And I'm going to tell you what, he thought so little of himself, which would be a good place for us to get to. But he said, well, if I'm going to have it, I'm going to have twice of it. I'm going to have double what he's got. God help us to get to thinking little of ourselves again. Whatever. Well, whatever you gonna do with that. I'm gonna tell you, we've got to the place where Papa and Dallas just had to hold our heads up high when we ought to be hanging them low and saying, woe is me, woe is me, woe is me. I tell you, when you get in the presence of God, we'll have to do like Isaiah did. And he said, I saw also the Lord high lifted up, sitting on the throne, and got his chain through the temple door. And what did he do? He fell on his face and he said, woe is me, I'm undone. I said, how long? He said, I'm going to go with you no matter what it takes. I remember when I got longing in me. And my wife, Dayton, and my wife asked me if I believed in being filled with the Holy Ghost. I said, well, no. I didn't know nothing about that. I didn't know what that was. Boy, I was a working second shift in the cotton mill and they something got a hold of me. I got longing. I got a desire. I got a yearning for something more than what I had. I loved it. I had a thirst within me that couldn't be quenched. Boy, I was a head fixer. Y'all don't know what I'm talking about, probably. I worked at a cotton mill and they had them looms there and the looms was downstairs and they had these things going up and they had the head was upstairs and I worked on them heads up there, on them jacket heads and I worked up on that gantry and the weavers was all on production so that it won't stop in them looms because they wanted them to run and so we didn't mess with them unless something was wrong and they turned up letting the light on. We knew when the light come on that they something need to be done for this night. Boy, I'd sit along with my Bible. There's a little old room up there. I'd go up there and get by myself. And I'd get that old Bible out. I'd go to read and pray. Thank God, I'd go to loving God. And I want them to love on me. Thank God, that's a yearning God in me. I got to want more. And want more. I pray we can have it. It ain't that far off. And we really want it. And we're really. And I pray the price we can have. Oh, help us. The glory of God's needful. Problem is, we don't see the need for it in our day. We don't see the need for it. And all the time, our children's going astray, wandering off from God, going further and further away from the Lord. That crowd
of the hippie generation had their children in the early 70s. Now their children's having children. That's that crowd running around now don't know how to pull their britches up. Can I tell y'all where that originated at? It originated in prison. Those men would do that to tell all the other inmates that might be. To let them know I'm one too. That's right. That was a sodomite showing. If they'd learned that, maybe it'd fix a lot of that stuff. Now they got them notches in their hair and they cut their head with them bowl cuts and they're doing all kinds of things. And we got men wearing jewelry. Hey friend, my wife got a pocketbook. And we're wondering, where's God? He ain't coming on new carts. I'm going to tell you, go to heaven with him. On new carts, he's liable to kill you. God help us. Here now, they came the time. They went and got the cart. David had a longing, but he didn't do things right. I'm going to tell you, you're going to have to do things God's way. If we're going to have it, we're going to have to do it God's way. And I know probably, I know in my heart everybody ain't going to be longing for him. Boy, I'd like to see one.
Yes.
I'd be tickled to see one that's willing to press through the crowd of everybody thronging. Say, I got to have it. I got to have it. I can't take no more. I got to have it. I want for him and I want him. So bad I can't stand it. If I don't have him, I die. I've got a longing in my soul. He didn't do things the right way. I'm going to tell you, it's going to cost us. So we ain't going to do it God's way. There's an order at the house of God. I'll tell you something. I was a deacon here. I'll tell you what I'd do. I'd take my shoe off and I'd go hand it to my preacher and say, preacher, I resign to whatever God wants and whatever He leads you to do, I'm going to do it. Amen. I'd say, preacher, I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to follow you as you follow Christ. Hey, God, tell you what Paul said. He said, follow us as we follow Christ. Hey, God, hey, there's an order in the church house. And if any church is run by a board or a committee, we'll be weak and anemic, and it won't have the power of God, and it will not ever get to the glory. We can't do it on new cards. We can't do it no new ways. We're going to have to go back and get a hold of God. Killed us a death there. He died by the ark of God. With the arm reach of the ark, he died out of the will of God. How close are you? It ain't that far off. At Obed-Edom's house, it was inside of the city gates. But they still didn't bring it home. Some of you go to a church where God's man's preaching in power and you're just right inside of the city gates, but you're not interested enough in it to do what it takes to have it.
Amen.
God help us. God help us. So they went down there. Boy, I like that verse right there where he says in verse number 13. They went back now. He found out how good God's been blessing Obed-Edom's house. Boy, I got to see the folk that had the glory of God on them. I got to see the folk that had the touch of God on them. I seen some of them old granny. There's a woman in our church when I was growing up before I ever got saved. And a man, we all called him Mama and Papa. He didn't say what none of our papas or Mama. But that's what we called him, Mama and Papa. And boy, we loved them to death and they loved us. And I'm going to tell you, when the glory of God around, hey God, when God got to moving in the church, hey God, granny and Papa get to shouting that and the glory. And Mama get to shouting that. Thank God to waving them arms like that. And boy, God gets to moving in there. And before I ever got saved, I said, if I ever get in, I will watch them at all. And thank God. I got to seeing it on. And now Obed-Edom's house has been blessed because of the glory of God. He said, I'll bring it up. We'll bring it up here to Israel, to Jerusalem. Bring it in the city gates and put it in his place. I'm going to tell you, when God gets in his place, it'll make a difference. Thank God. Thank God they went down there. I like that verse number 13 where it said, and they that bear the ark. Amen. He's quit trying to drive it. He quit trying to pull it. And he decided to do it God's way. And God, he said over there in Numbers chapter 4, verses 1 through 15, you can read it. And God over there in Kohath, he said his family, his children were the ones to bear the ark. They said, go over there and run them things into that ark. And the ring goes out of that ark. And get all that ark and bear it out. And bear it on their shoulder. You say, preacher, hell, if the ark's going to get to my place of worship. And come in. I fired it on your shoulder. And we won't it bad enough. We'll go get it.
Yes.
I want to tell you something tonight, this morning. Them four men fired it on their shoulders in every corner. I want to tell you it ain't going to work with one going that way and one going this way. Problem with us, we don't know the order of the service. We don't know the order of how God works. Hey, sometimes we need to just get in there and go with God. Amen. Lord Jesus. Let that man of God lead us and guide us and direct us as it prays and gets a hold of God. Amen. You say, preach this to your people? Yeah. But it took more than one service for me to preach it. Thank God. I thought I'd get it one service. Thank God that I didn't get there. It took me Sunday morning, Sunday night, and I still ain't get there.
We need to go back and get it. What are we going to do, I wonder?
As we hear the preaching of the Word of God last night, Brother Wayne, I'm honest to you. I'm honest to you in my heart. Brother Wayne got done preaching, I thought surely the altar's going to fill up. I thought, Lord, surely tonight there's some folk wanting the wheel in the middle of the wheel. Bad enough if they come to the altar and ask God to help them. You got done preaching, Brother Wayne, and this thing just kind of left me. I thought he's gone. Till I sat down at the table with you this morning. And you said just a few words. And before I pulled up off that table and walked up with that making in my hands, and something tried to back in on me and going up in steps, I started weeping. And I cried and said, oh God, I want it again. I want to see him one more time. I've seen a few glimpses of his glory. And I got a longing to get in the glory of God. I got a longing to find the deep things and those deep treasures with God. Oh God, help us. We need a longing, a desire, and a determination. And we're not going to stop short. David brought in the ark. While he's bringing in the ark, he's dancing, playing on his harp before the Lord. I don't tell you, everybody ain't going to like that kind of doings. Everybody ain't going to enjoy that shouting. I don't tell you what you'll have to do. You'll have to determine it. Don't matter what your family thinks about it. You're going to go after God. Hey, some of you are going to have to determine it. Don't matter what your in-laws and your mom and daddy thinks about it. You're going to go after God. I got back to the house, boy, God done something for me one morning. I'll tell you about it sometime, maybe. Oh, God done something for me one morning. I got back to the house and my wife was pregnant. Our first child. We hadn't been married 3 months and found out we was going to have a baby. And it was in the spring. On down in the fall, late in the year. I fell on a mountain one morning. But God done something for me that morning. I never got over it. Boy, I'll never forget that. And I got home that morning, and I walked in the door. My wife's in there with her mama, and just heard her mama in there. And they said, where have you been? I'm sick. I'm sick. I'm going to be blessed. What's your hands? My wife said, I'm sick. She showed up on something different when I got to the house and started cleaning that closet and the drawers. That's right. That's right. Got up under that TV and got to raking stuff out and throwing them in the trash. She thought, what in the world? She showed up and thought, that's crazy when I put that TV over her shoulder. I got a longing. And I want everything that's in the way between it, me and it. You say, preacher, what good is the word? Wasn't that bad? No. It probably wasn't for most of y'all, but God didn't like it. I was ready to get rid of her. It wouldn't have bothered you now. Hey, God, it didn't bother me not before. I think something got in me. Hey, God, God, try to get rid of her. Thank you.
I'd have quit drinking water if that's what it took.
Say, why, preacher? Because I got along it. David had never seen the glory in Israel, in Jerusalem. He had babies in this town now. He's 30 years old and he's got children and wives. And they ain't never seen the glory of God in Jerusalem. I've told some of you, your children ain't never seen you in the glory. They ain't never seen you get loose and full of God. And just turn loose and just let God have you. They ain't never seen you just get wild in God. David Matt's with all his might. He went high-hearted about it. Like we come to church, he give everything that he had.
I wonder this morning. I wonder this morning if they've got a longing. I wonder this morning if there's any inkling, desire in us. Turn loose of where we are and say, I gotta have it. I wonder, Mama, this morning you're just gonna turn, I'm gonna tell you something, your children deserve a mama that's full of God. Daddy, I'm wondering, preacher, I'm wondering, you think your children don't deserve it? They deserve a daddy that's full of the Holy Ghost of God. Faith and power. They deserve a daddy that loves God enough to go after the ark this morning for their family. Preacher, I wonder this morning.